Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Jamie Bissett, and welcome to another edition of Marketing in Motion. I'm here with my trusty co-host, Tim Atkins, and we have a special guest today, Scott Drake. Scott is strategic counsel for the advertising agency firm Augie Gray Drake, based out of Charleston, West Virginia. Scott, really appreciate you taking the time to come over and visit with us. Why don't you take a quick minute, tell us about yourself, tell us about your company.
Sure. Thanks for having me, definitely. I've been in the marketing world about 22 years, started with a pretty large agency with offices in three or four cities around the East Coast, and after about 20 years at a big agency, decided to do something where I was a little more hands-on with the work.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a small firm. There are eight of us. Work in a lot of different industries, from education, healthcare, public health, banking. What I do, I focus a lot on research, and I focus a lot on media. I grew up in the kind of traditional media world of television, radio, newspaper,
right,
that sort of thing. And what I'm helping a lot of our clients do is transition from that traditional way of thinking and look at all the data and all the resources out there available to start moving some of that money into the digital arena,
mm-hmm,
how to do it, what to expect, how to monitor it, and really how to get a return on that kind of investment.
Right, right. So can you kind of give us an idea of the product mix with your firm, say traditional media versus digital?
Sure. With some of our clients, we still have some folks that do a lot of traditional stuff. You know, we have some car dealers that like to be in the newspaper every Sunday.
Right, right.
But a lot of our clients that are more sophisticated are starting to really understand what digital has to offer, and more importantly, how they can monitor that and how they can monetize that. So we see every year 6-8% of most of our clients' budgets moving out of newspaper, moving out of radio, moving out of outdoor into various digital channels. And you know, when we see people move dollars, we really never see them move them back.
Right.
So it always seems like it's a sound investment. They've got the analytics, they've got the proof the money's being spent well.
Do you see that they're moving dollar for dollar, or are they thinking that, okay, I was spending $100 over here, I can be more effective in this using this tactic, I'm just going to move $50?
Well, you know, it varies. You know, if you have a client, say you've got a small local insurance agent, and he wants to drive traffic to his website, you could buy a billboard, buy a newspaper ad. You really don't know if that billboard newspaper ad is driving traffic to that website. If
right,
you're online and you're clicking the button, you can get the analytics that show this dollar was spent here, this click delivered a potential customer to my website. So very often we see clients are able to be more efficient, possibly spend a little less money or broaden their geography or broaden their reach with the same money that they'd spent in the past.
Right. And Tim, that's what we've been seeing with the work that you've been doing,
right,
is that we've been able to really, you know, look at those analytics to see what's been effective. As we try to, you know, like everybody else, stretch our advertising dollar.
Sure, it's really all about driving engagement, and whichever way you can do that is you know, in effective ways, is you know, the digital media spectrum is wide open right now, and it's like Scott was saying, it's cost effective. So getting with the cost effectiveness, and just a quick question, because I've found in some of the people that I hang out with and talk to in the digital space, they have a lot of questions about talking about return on investment, ROI, and explaining ROI to a client. How do you do that in a field where maybe somebody may not be as comfortable with the digital space?
Sure, and it's tough because we got to remember that everything in the digital space is driving someone to a website. So, you know, that's like inviting people into your store. Your store has to be good. It has to be nice. You have to have product on the shelf. You have to know what you're talking about. So first, you've got to have a destination that is worthwhile for people to come to.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're talking about an ROI for every dollar spent or every campaign launched, it really comes down to what are you asking people to do? You mentioned engagement, and that's the perfect word.
Mm-hmm.
Are you asking people just to come in and look at your site, to get to know you, to a, you know, kind of window shop? Well, you can monitor that with how many site views or clicks you've had. If you're trying to gather information, if you're trying to get someone's name, address, email address, other information, that's another measurement. eventually there's going to be a sell somewhere, and that sell may be monetary, it might be a phone call, it might be an enrollment, but you really have to monitor what that cost is, what the cost per click is, the cost per call is, the cost per engagement.
Right.
If you're an auto dealer, we go down to cost per test drive. We can monitor, we can monitor a specific vehicle description page. This is a certain Chevy truck.
Mm-hmm.
How many people did our advertising campaign drive to this one Chevy truck? How many times was that Chevy truck test driven?
Wow.
So you really have to dig through the analytics, but you can get
right. The specificity is amazing.
It
and
is.
In targeted ads, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on, the specificity is even more so, you know, as far as you know, being able to target the right people. I'm
Absolutely.
Sure Jamie will have some questions on the target ad.
It's a good lead-in. Thank you.
You guys play well together.
Let's talk about some of the different tactics that you utilize probably pretty much on a daily basis. And I know from our past, you know, you've worked a lot with geofencing. Now, that sounds really cool, but what the heck does that mean?
Geofencing allows you, like everyone's probably looked at Google Maps, you know, we all know what that looks like on our screen.
Mm-hmm.
Geofencing literally allows you to take a highlighter or take a pen and draw, you want to target a city block, you want to target a side of the street, or you want to target even a specific building. So you're able to serve digital ads. Everyone's carrying our smartphone in our pocket.
Mm-hmm.
We can put ads on smartphone devices that are within that little square that you've drawn. And an example in higher education, we were targeting a master's program, an MBA program. We looked at every university within 100 miles of the university we were working with and just targeted their business schools. So when every kid got out of class in business school, just in that building, the first thing they're doing is taking the phone out of their pocket, they're going on Instagram, they're checking the weather, they're doing what they do. We were able to serve mobile ads digitally to them just because they were standing at that business school in that building.
Interesting.
So how accurate, like, to feet is that?
Yeah, and it definitely varies.
Yeah.
In metro areas, when you have multiple cell towers, the triangulation lets you get really specific.
Mm-hmm.
I've been promised you can literally say this side of the street or the other.
My.
In more rural areas, I think it's less of a fine line. It gets a little fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're doing a Black Friday promotion and there's a big retail center across the street with a Walmart or Target, and you want to target the people that are in there, even if it's a little fuzzy, if you go half a mile either direction, you're still getting the people that are inside
right.
that geofenced retail area to deliver your digital message to.
Wow.
Wow, interesting.
That is.
All right. Another one you had is search and keyword.
Yeah. We're all web users. So there are services, and it's almost frightening what all is monitored. But every keystroke that we do, you know, there's someone monitoring those analytics. There's someone
right.
monitoring what we're searching for.
Right.
So we are able, individuals are able to say, I'm a local insurance agent. What keywords are people using in my county or my state when they're going to Google? What keywords are they using when they're looking for an insurance agent? Are they typing in best insurance agent, lowest car premiums, best deductible, best customer service? There are services out there that provide that list of keywords, the top words in a certain area that are being used to define a search. So what you're able to do is you're able to put ads in front of the people that use those terms. So if I'm looking for best agent in Kanawha County, type in best agent in Kanawha County. If I've bought that, you're seeing ads on every website that I go to. So you're seeing ads that show up on Facebook. You're seeing ads that show up on news conglomerates like MSNBC and USA Today and so on. So you're able to target people based on what they're searching for in their Google search bar.
Now, how does that differ from Google AdWords?
Well, Google AdWords just shows up, and we're all familiar with our returns in Google. Google AdWords just shows up in the Google stream. So if I'm
right.
typing in Google, you know, best used car, you're going to see that little box up top that has two or three entries in it. Those are people that have paid for that search return.
Right.
And you might see a strip down the side. Google AdWords only shows up on your Google screen.
Yeah.
The other sort of keyword delivering shows up on third-party sites. So, you know, you're going to go to Amazon and look for something. There might be an ad right there on Amazon. There's an ad on USA Today's website. There's an ad on CNN's website.
Right.
So it follows you throughout other websites, not just Google.
So it's not magic. A lot of people go, well, I was just shopping for shoes yesterday.
Right.
Now I'm on CNN, and, oh, those are the exact same shoes that I was thinking about buying. How do they know? It's freaky and crazy and scary, but it's all about the data mining and about getting those stats.
Absolutely, and it scares some people. You're exactly right. It makes people uncomfortable sometimes.
Well, and I'm going to talk about cost and pricing on some of these things later on as a whole. But I want to kind of compare it now with Google AdWords. I mean, a lot of those, you're competitively bidding on some of those keywords.
Correct.
Okay, so insurance, car premium, maybe the hot ones, and so therefore you're going to end up paying more for that if that's what you want. Is it similar in the search and keyword that you were talking about?
With Google AdWords, you're exactly right. It is it's a competitive market cost system. The
right.
more people fishing in whatever bucket you're fishing in, the higher the cost per click or the higher the rate can be. The other type of keyword targeting is simply you're buying number of impressions. So it's not based on how competitive the category is or how many other advertisers are there. You're simply negotiating the lowest
right.
cost per impression you can get. And an impression is just how many eyeballs see your ad.
Right. Interesting. Okay. All right. Let's go to the next one. Category contextual.
Yeah. And this one, you know, you talk about algorithms and people being, followed through their web experience. Where keywords, where it's what people are typing in Google, allows us to find them. In the category and contextual, it is their search history and their web history. So if you are a car guy, I'm a car guy. I go to dozens of different car-oriented websites every week.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm on Amazon, I might see an ad from Fram for an oil filter, or I might see an ad for a local Chevy dealer, just because someone is monitoring me and knowing that my web time, my free time, is spent in that car field. It's the same thing on every other sort of category. And again, you're able to go out and, you know, if I'm a local restaurant, I'm able to go out and find which websites in my defined geography, in my state or my county, which websites are people going to when they're looking for new restaurants to try or they're looking for a different sort of cuisine. And I'm able to put ads on those specific websites.
Wow.
A lot of data. I mean, this is the age of big data. And, you know,
right.
everyone sees cookies or used to seeing cookies
right.
on a computer. Those little cookies, those little bits, those little tiny pieces of code are what allow those data miners to find you and know what you're doing.
And that really takes it to a new level versus the traditional marketing, you know, a decade or so ago. Television, radio, and, you know, the old adage, well, you got to have an ad in the paper 7 times before people see it or, you know, whatever it is. And I remember, you know, through different careers of doing advertising and then trying to justify my budget to management, and the question always came back, okay, well, did they buy it because of your ad or because they bought it anyways? I mean, there was nothing to ever tie it to.
Right.
And so now, with digital marketing, it does become more of a science and more where you could really justify or not justify, but be able to target everyone's limited funds to tactics that work, that you know work, proven based on proven results.
You're exactly right. And, you know, there's still a place today for traditional advertising.
Yes.
You know, it's not,
mm-hmm.
print is not dead, radio is not dead, TV is not dead. But you can think of traditional advertising as sort of the shotgun. And, you know, you pull the trigger and it sprays everywhere. The digital marketing is more the laser. You're
right.
not trying to spray and go every direction and maybe hit your target. With digital marketing, you're able to define your target and really just hit them with very little waste.
Right. Well, and it's because, I mean, now I think a lot of people, it's not just the millennials, I think it's everybody now, that you're looking to receive the information you want to receive. You're going to the sites you want to go to. The consumer has much more control in not only what they see, but also the product. I mean, product development. These shoes need to be in red, and doing that. So, if my internet searching is limited to a certain topic, I only visit news sites. Okay. Now, you have a way to find me, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only a way to find you, I can probably find out which way you lean politically. I can find out roughly your education level, and I can find out roughly your household income level just by the websites and the stories and things that you've gone to.
Tell me a little bit about what's behind the science on that. How who comes up with those numbers in order to furnish them to you?
It is so proprietary. If Jeff Bezos was sitting here and asked him that question, he wouldn't say any more than I can say, just because it's so proprietary.
Right.
And then you see interesting things like the Washington Post and the New York Times have launched new programs that allow you to put ads just on news stories that are relevant to your ad content.
Wow.
So, if I'm promoting, a university, then if I'm on the USA Today site, I'm sorry, the Washington Post site or the New York Times site, and I'm looking at editorial coverage or news stories about higher education, then my ad's going to be there. If I flip the page and I'm looking at something about political, it's not going to be there. So just within their websites, they're doing contextual marketing against editorial coverage.
So it's getting more and more specific with each step.
It is. We work with a rocket company that manufactures rocket engines.
Wow.
And we're doing a lot with that sort of contextual marketing. So anytime you go to the USA Today, New York Times or Washington Post, and you look at anything about Mission to Mars or SLS or anything in the current space conversation, you're probably going to see one of our ads sitting there.
Wow. Could you tell me a little bit about some of the challenges? I know that back in the 90s and like the early 2000s, where people didn't have a targeted ad. They had more of a display ad. They were those annoying GIFs with the flashy, whatever, and people are like, I don't want to see that. So then ad blockers came into effect a lot, and so now a lot of people use ad blockers.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the challenges that sort of thing that you face in regards to that, and how do you combat that sort of thinking and that sort of...
Sure. In the early days, those ads were just, they were a nuisance. They were too in your face. You went to your local newspaper online, and all of a sudden, like you said, there was flashing fireworks and something you had to set through or click through to get through to the content you were looking for. We've matured a little, and we've taken the ads less from in your face to more parked on the side in some convenient areas. But your point's incredibly valid. If you look at a lot of governmental institutions or state agencies, they have incredibly strict filters on their websites, so they may not get a lot of the advertising that we're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals can purchase software or change settings on their phones or change setting their computer, which minimizes it, but we're able to still get content on, again, those big websites that I'm talking about, like USA Today and those other sort of things. You can't go to those sites without getting the ads. So I think, everyone jumped in. Everyone felt like they had to be in digital. So a lot of people jumped in. A lot of money moved in, and it was just kind of the wild, wild west.
Right.
But it's maturing, and it's becoming a little more friendly to the consumer, and I think that helps a lot.
It does help.
Right. Okay, and I think this is something we've all experienced, even with site retargeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
So give me a kind of a little lowdown on that.
Yeah, site retargeting, and I think everyone's done this. You're on Amazon and you're looking at a certain book, and then you go to your local newspaper website, and all of a sudden there's a little box on there where you can buy that book. Or you're at Zappos and you're looking for a pair of shoes, and then the next day you're on a website and there's that pair of shoes. What retargeting does is when you go to a specific website, that website embeds a little cookie, a little piece of code on your computer, so that you are followed throughout your internet experience on any other website that you go to. And if you do retargeting, if you buy retargeting ads, then you can put your ad for that specific product based on the page that the individual saw or the product they were
right.
looking at. You're able to put that ad out on hundreds of thousands of websites. I mean, the big ones, CNN, Mashable, USA Today, mm-hmm. all those guys do retargeting ads. And it's not just the news conglomerators. You can go to ESPN. You can go to, you know, retail, sports. Everyone accepts the retargeting conversation.
another one that you've mentioned before, and I think it's somewhat self-explanatory, is by demographics. I want to target males, 54 to 60, income, you know, things on that. But let's go to, you know, some of the other avenue tactics out there that maybe are outside of this that we always see them, we always hear about it, and one we talked about earlier was, you know, Pandora.
Yeah.
You know, you got to advertise on Pandora. You know, there's 9 million listeners, you know, a day on that. Give me a little background on, I guess, specific entities, companies, institutions marketing only on their site.
Yeah, I mean, you can go direct, and someone like Pandora is fantastic. Pandora used to have a $10,000 minimum spend, so it's really hard for local advertisers, obviously, to be a part of Pandora.
Right.
They've dropped it down to $7,500 as of a couple months ago. But you can go direct to people like Pandora, to Spotify, to the Weather Channel app on our phones.
Right.
You're able to work straight with the Weather Channel to get ads just on their app, so they're not going out and being distributed. It's just with them.
Right.
And with something like Weather Channel, we work with a car dealer before to have different ads based on the weather of where you're standing. So if I'm standing here and it's a sunny day and it's 80 degrees, you're going to see an ad for
wow.
a convertible. If it's raining or snowing, you're going to see a four-wheel drive ad for an SUV.
That's
so they're
coming.
Able to not only know where I'm standing wow. and what I'm doing, they can give me different ads
right.
based on the temperature or if it's raining or snowing.
Well, okay, so you gave us a little glimpse of, you know, the cost and pricing on that. And you're right, probably for most of us, we're trying to spread our dollars out. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the tactics we just reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And what type of budget do I need for that? I mean, you know, we're saying $7,500 for just Pandora.
And that's per month.
I mean, and you talked about the pricing methodology with it by impressions.
Right.
So is everything we talked about based on that same type of methodology?
They're outside of the big direct like Pandora or Weather
right,
Channel,
right.
there's cost per impression and cost per click.
Okay.
So cost per click, you're only being charged if someone hits your ad and goes to your website. Cost per impression is how many eyeballs actually see your ad, regardless of how many interact with it.
Those unique impressions.
Those unique impressions.
Unique individuals. So if I see it twice, I'm not being charged twice.
And, you know, we see rates ranging from $7 to maybe $10 per impression. So that's a kind of a baseline to look at if you're buying cost per impressions online.
So $7 to $10 per impression. So
yes.
If I want someone to see this, I got to pay $7.
Correct.
Okay, so if I want 100 people to see this, it's $700.
Correct. Now, you know, that sounds like a lot of money, but when you look at some traditional advertising and you look at, you know, what does $700 get you in a local newspaper or local radio station, it may get you a lot of inches or a lot of airtime, but again, that's a shotgun. You're not necessarily just talking to your customers.
Right, yeah, right. These are people who have an interest in the red shoe.
Absolutely.
So you're nailing down that. So if the impression is in that range, what is the cost per click? Kind of running.
Cost per click, it's
going to vary.
It's huge vary. If you're in a niche where there's not a whole lot of competition, you know, cost per click can be down in a couple of dollar range.
Right.
If you're sitting in you know, a row of 100 car dealers and you're one of them, you might be paying $35 or $40 or $50 per click. So it's really market driven.
All right. Okay. So we got a little sense of that and what that is. Now, this is all great. I want to do this. Do I just Google how to do some of these things and do it myself? I mean, can I do it myself?
you can't do it yourself. I encourage people, if anything sounds interesting, whether it's geofencing or contextual marketing or whatever, there are some great YouTube tutorials out there. You can go to YouTube and in 4 or 5 minutes get a lot more information than we're able to,
right.
to do here. But you can't necessarily just pick up the phone and order. You're going to have to go through what is called a trading desk, and it's almost like buying stock. Us as individuals can't just buy stock. We have to go through a broker.
Right.
There are hundreds or thousands of individuals that have these relationships that are able to sell you these ads or these impressions or these clicks. I would start with the local TV and radio stations because most of those media channels have decided to diversify what they offer, and they're selling digital as well.
Right.
If not, local advertising agencies or marketing professionals, if they're not doing it themselves, they can give you some contact information or give you some direction on how to do it.
Interesting. Okay. Real quick, and we've talked about this before, Tim and I have, and this is kind of a direction that we've been going with some of the social media paid ads.
Yeah.
We've been finding that, yeah, that is something that we can do in-house, find it be very cost effective. Impressions are very inexpensive. With that, I mean, what would you recommend for the small business owner? What platform should they look at? And again, I know it's tough, but I guess what are the key platforms you should at least be considering?
It's going to be demographically based for the 20. To the 30-plus individuals, Facebook is still king. And unlike the other type of marketing, Facebook, you can do it all yourself. So
right.
with your Facebook interface, you can put your credit card in, as you guys well know. You can buy ads. You can boost individual posts. And, that's a place where I would suggest people start. If you have a good Facebook page for your business, boosting a post can literally cost $10.
Right.
It can cost even less than that. And what you're doing is you're putting your post about a product or an event or something else, you're putting it out in front of like-minded people that aren't necessarily following you, but you're inviting people to participate in what you're saying. And you can literally spend $8, $10 at a time there
right.
and get the analytics to see how many people saw your boosted post. Did anyone interact with it?
Well, so you've got the analytics right there, and it's very cost-effective.
It really is.
You can just look right at it and see how effective it is. Well, we've only got about a minute left, and I really don't have anything.
Let's end it on this here. We've seen a real monumental shift in media over the last 10 years. Look into your crystal ball. What are we going to see in 5 years?
Oh, it's already coming. You'll be interacting with your on-screen experience. You'll be able to buy the shirt that I'm wearing. You'll be able to click the button and go straight to Banana Republic from what I'm wearing, or your brand of shoes, your brand of eyeglasses. I mean, that's a couple years around the corner where it's not necessarily an ad. It's just seeing the product and being able, little window coming up and saying where this was purchased or what this watch is. So I think that's the next thing we're going to see.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Scott, I appreciate you coming over. This has been very informative to me.
I've learned a lot.
And it's always interesting.
Yeah.
And it's good to see you again.
Definitely.
I'm glad you made it over, and wish the best to you and the folks at Augie Gray Drake and all the success.
Fantastic. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we are clear.